The title for the message that I've got this morning is called Under Construction. And I'm going to read the opening. What I've chosen is the opening scripture, but I do want to make a comment about it once I've finished reading it, just so that I can help connect the dots a little bit. It's taken from Jeremiah 18, verses 1 to 12. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. The instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. And the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to build and to plant it, if it does evil in my sight so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I said I would benefit it. Now therefore, speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus says the Lord, Behold, I am fashioning a disaster and devising a plan against you. Return now, every one, from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. And they said, That is hopeless. So we will walk according to our own plans, and we will, every one, obey the dictates of his evil heart. The reason I chose this as the opening is because it linked together the notion of the potter and us. I mean, I appreciate that Jeremiah is speaking to nations and to the house of Israel and to people that are not following the plan that God had for their lives. And what I would like to speak about today is about our own personal walk with the Lord. So I'm not asking you to consider, you know, what the Lord does in terms of punishments, but rather the notion that we are like clay in God's hands, and it's his choice what we become and how he forms us, what he turns us into. But it was also the final part of that, what I've just read, about the decision at the time, the people that Jeremiah was speaking to say, we're not interested in what you have to say. We want to walk according to our own plans, and we will, everyone, obey the dictates of our own evil heart. And that links back to the last time I spoke, which is two Sundays ago, because I had spoken at that time that being obedient to the plan that God has for us as his image bearers and co-rulers of this world is actually impossible for us to carry out in our own strength. The evidence base is very solid throughout the whole of the Old Testament. Even God's chosen people, not to mention everybody else that was populating the earth at the time, were not able to live according to the terms and conditions of the covenant relationship that God established with them, leading to all manner of evil, injustice, and destruction in God's good creation. From the very beginning of the story, God makes it clear that he has a plan which will ultimately enable the restoration of our relationship with him, a plan which will usher in a transformed heaven and earth, God's kingdom as he originally designed it to be. We looked two Sundays ago at the promise God made to do major work in man's heart, using the image of circumcision, the cutting away of the evil and hardness of heart which has prevented man from loving God and others as God intended. We have been promised a new heart, a soft heart, to replace the heart of stone left within each one of us as the consequence of choosing to determine what is good and what is evil for ourselves, rather than submitting to God's guidance and His perfect wisdom. We can see in the New Testament that following Jesus' life on earth, His death on the cross, where He conquered evil at its source, and His resurrection and ascension, we as believers have been gifted with the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us to carry out the work of transforming us into the people we could never be in our own strength. We have become a new creation. And by submitting to the work that God wants to do in our hearts and our lives, we will gradually over time begin to look and act more and more like Jesus. This reality of the Holy Spirit in us that we experience in our daily lives is the fulfillment of the promise God made to the children of Israel all those centuries ago when He promised to circumcise their hearts so that their heart's desire would be to love Him and love others as He has commanded. Over the past several weeks, my son and his wife have been having their back garden landscaped. When they bought their house in Woodall Spa, it was stuck in a 1970s time warp, and they set about getting the inside of the house renovated and redecorated. One of the decisions they made was to remove an old conservatory, which was very hot in the summer and let in cold air in the winter. Taking that down left a mess in the back garden. They tried hard to find quick and cheap solutions to resolve the problem of the unsightly footprint left once the conservatory was torn down. Overall, the decisions they made to help the back garden be more usable created an incoherent, disorganized space, which they gradually lost interest in until the time they would be able to rip the whole thing up and start from scratch with a clear plan. This long-awaited transformation began the middle of May and was completed 2 weeks ago. Each day, while I watched the process in action, I was struck by the similarities in how God often enters our lives when we submit to the work He must do to create in us a new heart and character that reflects His perfect design for us. When the digger arrived on that first morning in May, what was an unattractive garden that had limited usefulness for my son's young family became a demolition site. There was so much concrete that needed breaking up and removing, as well as block paving that they had put in a few years ago, thinking they could do spot improvements here and there to save money. The problems that had to be removed were a combination of original issues they inherited when they bought the house, the mishmash they created in trying to sort things out themselves on a tight budget, and the general neglect that came with giving up on the space altogether. Things had to get a whole lot worse than they had been before they could start to get better. Does this sound familiar to any of you as you reflect on seasons in your life where it has felt that you've been taken to ground zero with your life appearing to be in a shattered mess around you? Listen to what God has to say through the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 1, verse 10. "See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. and then toward the end of the book in chapter 31, 28, "And it shall come to pass that as I have watched over them to pluck up, to break down, to throw down, to destroy, and to afflict, so I will watch over them to build and to plant, says the Lord." God promises to build and to plant. But first he has to get rid of what is not pleasing to him and what is inconsistent with his perfect design. So he brings in the diggers. Ecclesiastes 3:3 says, "A time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up." As I have mentioned many times over the years that I've been speaking here, I've been walking this walk of faith since I was 11 years old. The diggers don't necessarily come in right at the start of our walk with him. In my own life experience, I feel that I've been more like James and Megan's back garden. Although I was committed to the Lord throughout my life, eventually my original nature and the short-term fixes I attempted to make over the years to improve myself and to try and make myself more into the person I thought God wanted me to be ended up leaving me as an incoherent space that was not reflecting the best that God wanted from my walk with him. For me, in 2014, the diggers came in big time, and life as I knew it was raised to the ground. That certainly does not mean that in the preceding decades of my life, I was not in God's will. I was just less surrendered to him than I believed I was. He wanted all of me, and to enable the redesign, he had to get rid of what was old and ineffective. I'm going to change the metaphor here. I needed to allow the Lord to remove any part of me and my life that was not abiding in him and bearing his fruit, as John explains in chapter 15, verses 1-8. "I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." When God rebuilds us in his image, we have to allow ourselves to be under construction, even when that involves a complete dismantling of the life that we've grown accustomed to. It is painful and messy, but it is a necessary part of the transformation. Unlike the garden project at my son's house, which started with plans and a bid for the work, which tied in time scales and costs, our transformation can and most probably will be a lifelong endeavor. We cannot and should not expect an immediate before and after view of the process. We must be patient and trust the Lord that he is doing what is necessary in our hearts and in our lives to enable us to live the abundant life he has for each of us. Isaiah 64, verse 8 says, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, and you our potter, and all we are the work of your hand." It's our natural tendency as humans to become outraged when our lives seem to go from bad to worse. As believers, we should not look at what is happening to us as a punishment, but rather a reshaping, which might not be possible without an initial flattening of the pot we started as. Romans 9, verse 20 says, "But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, 'Why have you made me like this?'" Where our lives are a product of our own strength and our own good ideas, the rebuild after the tearing down has got to be the work of God's hand, not our own. The old is gone so that we can be rebuilt correctly with the right person in charge. Psalm 127, verse 1 says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain." As believers, we are all now tabernacles and temples of God, carrying His presence and power into a world that needs Him. We cannot be that without Him rebuilding us according to His plan. It's touched upon in Acts chapter 15, verses 15 to 16. And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written, "After this I will return and will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins and I will set it up." We must allow ourselves to be broken and trust that God is with us, meeting us in the brokenness in order to rebuild us in His strength, not our own. Again from Isaiah chapter 8, verse 9, "Be shattered, O you peoples, and be broken in pieces. Give ear, all you from far countries. Gird yourselves, but be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, but be broken in pieces." And then from Psalm 34, verse 18, "The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit." While the garden renovation was taking place, it helped to keep the vision alive of what it was going to look like and be like once it was completed. As we are under construction, we too must keep alive the vision of the person God is transforming us into. The latter, as the prophets proclaim, will be better than the former, and in the new, we will find true peace. Just look at a couple of Old Testament prophets, Haggai chapter 2, verse 9. "The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts." And then Hosea chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. "Come and let us return to the Lord. For He has torn, but He will heal us. He has stricken, but He will bind us up. After 2 days, He will revive us. On the third day, He will raise us up, that we may live in His sight. Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and former rain to the earth." And then Jesus Himself speaks to our need for renewal. In Luke 5, verses 36 to 38, "Then He spoke a parable to them. No one puts a piece from a new garment on an old one. Otherwise, the new makes a tear. And also, the piece that was taken out of the new does not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved." Paul himself reiterates this message in 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Paul paints a picture of this new version of ourselves that God will create through the power of His Spirit working in us in his letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do." This is a picture of what we are becoming as the Holy Spirit transforms us from the inside out. I've enjoyed watching the garden at my son's house take shape. It's been very inconvenient having the garden out of commission during much of this summer, but the vision we have had for it has finally been achieved. As beautiful as it is, this garden will not last for eternity. Hopefully, it will serve my son's family well for many years to come. But as part of this world, it is currently subject to wear and tear and decay over time. The work that's being done in us is part of an eternal plan that will be completed when Jesus returns to establish a new heaven and new earth, and we will receive our completely transformed bodies and hearts, which we will have forever. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says, "Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever." Whatever you are experiencing in this moment as a consequence of being under construction, humble yourself to the work of the Lord. Things so often have to get much worse before they can get better. As Peter also says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, "Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." We most certainly will be exalted in his time as the best version of ourselves, a version that is the work of his mighty hand, not our own. Be patient and trust in him while you are under construction. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are the great potter and we are the clay. We know that we can trust you completely, and we know that the work of our own hands and our own lives over time often creates problems for us and a mess that needs to be removed before the new can come in. Lord, I ask that you would enable each one of us to have surrendered hearts that recognize that no matter how painful the experiences are that we are often asked to go through, that we can live in hope and trust in you, that they are all being used to transform us into the person that you want us to be, and that eventually we will reflect your Son, your perfect example of a human being, and we will be able to live in that state with you for eternity. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, for your love, for your commitment to us as works in progress. Just ask that you help each one of us to humble ourselves under your mighty hand, knowing that in your time, you will exalt us. We thank you in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.